COVID has really exposed a lot of things that aren't working for us. And so what I'm really hopeful is that we take this time to maybe address some of those issues and to create a more fair and just society.
Welcome back to season 4 of the Women on the Move podcast. I'm your host, Sam Saperstein. Women on the Move is a global initiative at JPMorgan Chase designed to help women grow their businesses, improve their financial health, and build their careers. This season, we're taking you inside JPMorgan Chase's annual Women's Leadership Conference, where we addressed critical issues affecting women. Our diverse speakers shared leadership lessons and career tips and taught us how to take care of our well-being. Overall, they had one thing in common: optimism about the future and unwavering positivity. It's a fascinating season you won't want to miss. In this episode, we hear from a panel of small business owners about their response to COVID-19. CEO of Chase Business Banking, Jennifer Roberts, moderated the conversation with three incredible women who supported their communities at a time of great stress and uncertainty for their businesses. Here's their conversation.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Roberts, Chief Executive Officer of Chase Business Banking. I'm delighted to be moderating a panel today with three incredible and inspirational small business owners. First, I'll introduce Blanca Cabrera, owner of Sergio's Family Restaurant in Miami, a staple of the Miami community. In 2014, Blanca became the first Latin female on the National Restaurant Association's Board of Directors. Welcome, Blanca. Also with us today is Adrian Stewart Gordon, co-founder and co-owner of Pound Cake Society, an apparel design, manufacturing, and consulting company. Her 25 years of experience in the garment industry have ranged from showroom manager to national sales manager to brand consultant. Welcome, Adrian. Finally, I want to introduce Kelsey Bunker, co-founder and owner of the Jupiter Hotel and Jupiter Next in Portland, Oregon. These two unique destinations serve as stylish hubs for the vibrant creative community in Portland. Welcome, Kelsey. So thanks, ladies, for agreeing to participate. Well, I want to start by tackling perhaps the most obvious question. How have each of your small businesses survived COVID-19? And what changes did you implement? So Blanca, I'm going to start with you.
Well, hi, thank you for having me. I've been in business for 30 years, so never prepare me for something like this that came into us suddenly for the past 6 months. So I think Sergio had a head start because we have delivery and takeout plus our window that is represent 30% of our business. So we were prepared more than probably another restaurants. So we just have to find out how I'm going to get the rest of those 70%. And I knew I can hold 4, 5, 6 weeks, but longer than that, no. I realized after the second shutdown that everything was going to be different. I stayed focused and trying to move forward and reinvent myself with catering, with outsourcing, things like that.
Great, thank you for that. Travel and tourism obviously has been dramatically affected as well and at the forefront. So Kelsey, what did the Jupiter do differently since March?
Well, within 2 weeks of the COVID-19 being declared a pandemic, we lost 70% of our income on the books. And it became obvious to us that we were going to have an underused, if not unused, asset. So we began looking around trying to figure out who might need this asset. We ended up connecting with our county because they had put a call out for rooms to help the medically vulnerable that were staying in their homeless shelters. And so at the end of the day, that's one of the things that we did to pivot.
Thank you for that. Adrian, you also made a switch early in the pandemic, changing from loungewear production to face masks. How difficult was this for you to do so quickly?
Well, thanks for having me, Jennifer. What we did in keeping up with the news cycles and the desperate healthcare need for face masks, and PPE, my business partner, Raina Fershuk, and I had a brief call to figure out how we could help because we're in the apparel manufacturing business and making an accessory, which is basically what a face mask kind of is, wouldn't be tough to do. We used every resource that we had, including disassembling a few things and remaking them with fabric so we had enough.
So all three of your businesses faced, obviously, these major impacts and are continuing to face impacts, but it didn't hold any of you back from giving back to your communities. How did people react to your donations?
It was beautiful. You know, we were wholesalers only, and in pivoting, we changed our business model to business to consumer. It was kind of a business to consumer nonprofit. And healthcare workers, vet clinics, like I said, everybody was so grateful. You got to hear the stories, their worry for their loved ones that work in healthcare. And you were a part of a very real struggle to survive. We share those stories with everybody, our contractors, people working with us, all our volunteers. And it kept us going.
I love that mentality, Adrienne. I do think everyone has a role to play. And Blanca, you also donated meals to healthcare workers. Why was that so important to you?
Well, Sergio's being a neighborhood restaurant, we're very involved in our community. We have about two hospitals very close to a few of our stores. We gave lunches to firefighters. We donated through the schooling, through children that are in neighborhoods that are more impacted.
Kelsey, the Jupiter donated hotel rooms to the most vulnerable population in the Portland area. And how did you initially identify that need?
We were definitely looking for opportunities to use our hotel. And I had heard our county commissioner on a news broadcast making this request. And my business development person had heard the same request that morning. And we kind of took that as a sign that we needed to contact them and find out if there was a need that we could help fulfill. I think the one thing that the three of us here on this panel have in common at this moment is this ability to think outside the box, the ability to respond to a need, the ability to maybe put aside our initial business plan, our initial idea of who we think we are, and maybe look beyond ourselves, looking to our community, because our communities are what really support us.
And I think all of you mentioned sort of listening outside of your own four walls and outside of your own employee base to find out what was needed. You do what you have to do, right? You're listening to the community and the needs of the community, and you decided that it was your time to rise to the occasion. Blanca, you pivoted to nationwide selling of your restaurant food. What insights can you share with other business owners about trying out alternate revenue streams?
Well, I can tell you, reinvent yourself. But none of my staff pay attention to me because we were so busy that I always wanted to, you know, get my croquetas outside Miami, you know, all over. And that's exactly what we did. And believe it or not, the sales have been increased 50% weekly on the croquetas. So don't be afraid to try something new.
So Each of you have probably had some folks in your lives that have given you advice. All of you are extremely resilient, optimistic, positive, which I love about small business owners in general. So I'd love each of you to just talk through folks that have been instrumental in your life. We'll start with Kelsey.
So this is a little outside the box maybe, but I spent 10 years with a shaman really trying to understand my view of myself, maybe. And I began to really understand how my self-centeredness prevented me from really interacting with the world. The ability to put aside my ego, the ability to understand that it's not all about me, has probably been the most important thing about getting a business going.
Well, for me, family and friends support has been helpful during this crisis, especially my spouse, who I've completely changed positions with. Friends that are lawyers and nonprofit people, accountants, all helping with free advice to help us pivot and keep moving forward at this speed. And I have to say, Chase, it sounds a little cheesy to say, but Chase has been an amazing banking partner at all levels. Our small new business needs handholding and guidance. And so all of these people have been supporting us and been mentors. So that's been super helpful during this crisis, and I hope it continues well after the crisis.
One of my inspirations was my mother that worked so hard, and she taught me how to work hard. And we had something between both of us. Our deal was none of us can get depressed at the same time, one at a time. So I will cry, she will cheer me up, and the opposite. So that keeps us going through this COVID-19.
I love that rule. I think my team and I sort of unofficially have that rule, because when one of us is having a bad day, the rest of us sort of lift that person up. So I love that rule. So I want to close out our panel today by asking each of you, what are you hopeful for in the future? And really, what is that light at the end of the tunnel?
For me, the light at the end of the tunnel professionally is that Everyday Ritual, which is our collection, continues to grow and do well. And, you know, in our company, we're trying to be the best versions of ourselves, and we encourage our employees and staff to do that as well.
Blanca, would you like to add to that?
Well, I will tell you this, these two shall pass. I'm really, really looking forward for seeing our business flourish. Don't give up, you know, because this is kind of a lesson for all of us.
And Kelsey, we'll end with you.
Well, I think there's two things that are going on for me. One, for my company, I just want stability. And as a community and as a society, I think that the COVID has really exposed a lot of things that aren't working for us. And so what I'm really hopeful is that we take this time to maybe address some of those issues and to create a more fair and just society. So I am really hopeful that we come out on the other side a better community.
I love closing on that optimism from all of you ladies. So thank you so much for sharing your pearls of wisdom. I'm sure all the viewers are really gonna love watching you and learning from you.
What a heartening view into the world of small businesses and what the pandemic has been like for these three women. What I loved most about the conversation was the unwavering optimism they shared. Like Kelsey, I also hope that we come out of this time a better and stronger community. Thank you to our moderator, Jennifer Roberts, and our guests, Kelsey Bunker, Blanca Cabrera, and Adrian Stewart Gordon, for such a rewarding discussion. Let's all continue to show up and support the small businesses in our communities, just as they have done for us. Thank you for listening to this episode of Women on the Move, recorded at Women's Leadership Day 2020. If you'd like to see more from our event, visit jpmorganchase.com/leadershipday for the replays and additional content. The mission of Women on the Move is to help women in their professional and personal lives. Our goal is to introduce you to people with great ideas, inspiring stories, and a passion to make a difference. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe so you won't miss any others. For JPMorgan Chase's Women on the Move, I'm Sam Saperstein. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. is a member of the FDIC.